Welcome everybody back to the Game Vault News Hour. I am your host, Mark, and this is week 4 or 5, I believe, of doing this. I think we're finally hitting our stride in terms to how to open the show here, because mainly, today I have one game to mention that I played that was outside of streaming, so we'll actually have that to talk about. But yeah, I think this is a great place for us to just chit-chat. I want to open the show, for the people on Twitch, give me a more immediate answer. People on YouTube and the podcast can let me know later, because no decision has to be made until probably next Sunday. So we can figure it out then. But the question I want to give to you guys is, as much as I've said on this stream, and I think I said to Tom on the Game Vault Podcast Prime, I am probably going to end up buying Hades 2 early access. I hear there's a lot more in it than the early access for Hades 1, which is what I was afraid of in terms of why I didn't get it, because Hades 1 was so incremental that I didn't want the game way too early. My thought is, options for Sunday, or even Thursday, roughly. We can discuss which one of Cyberpunk. I listened to a bunch of people talk about it, and they said, yeah, because the game is supposed to come out at the end of the year, so the early access, like, the problem is, before I get into my question, the problem was with Hades 1, was that was like a two-year, year-and-a-half, early access period. So there was a lot going on, you know, as they were sort of developing the game. From what I hear, Hades 2 should be out at the end of the year or the beginning of next year, so it's a shorter early access window, which I feel more comfortable diving into. I did it with Satisfactory and did it with some other games before, but yeah, with this, it's just like, I'm dying for Hades, so I think I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to dive as deep into it as I want to, but that's why I want to bring it up to you guys, since I don't want to, like, dive in full, until 1.0 comes out. I was saying, you know, maybe I should stream Hades 2 on either Thursday or Sunday, maybe alternate it with Cyberpunk and Fallout. I feel like Fallout would be the better, you know, one to alternate with it being an older game and sort of, you know, basically the same game, just with some up-res graphics. I think that might be the better thing to do it on Sundays. Or even if I do, exactly. As we found out today as I was playing Cyberpunk, Dad going, oh, what's the buttons again? And it was only a week. So I can even, like, Hades is such a game because of runs that I could probably play an hour and then jump into Fallout and get both of them in the same night. I could start at 8, go 8 to 9, and then 9 to 11 and do the same thing. That might be the better option. Especially playing the game on the weekends. I could even, if I'm really into Hades, I could do it, before both, weekend streams, you know, play an hour here and there. I think my goal for Persona is I want to start that at around 7 now. I want to get a lot of hours into that, just because as much as I'm loving that game, I do want to move on. I have, I have two games lined up, back to back, to play through there. One's a surprise. One is Eternonites that I've been talking about doing. Might even throw in maybe doing the Final Fantasy 16 DLC, something like that, because Saturdays is JRPG night. So, I can pop Hades in an hour before all those streams if I have the time. But I think the thing to have it live is like at 8 p.m. on Sundays. I think, Tom, you're in agreement that that's probably the right spot to put it in. So I think I'm going to do that. I'll probably purchase it this week, and then we'll hop into it on Sunday. You may, worst case, depending on how Mother's Day goes, how long I am at with my mother, it may even be, you know, I started yesterday, so check the Twitch archives if you want to see me get through there. But, my goal is, if not this Sunday, May 12th, then it'll be May 19th. I look forward to that. So let's get into the games I've been playing. But before I do that, I got to look at lists of games coming out because I have no idea what's coming out. With softball season, busy season at work, and doing all these streams, I haven't really had the chance to check in on what's coming out soon. So we'll get that and see what games can pop in and out here and there. So I will probably do that. You'll probably hear on the Monday stream. You know, if you're listening to the podcast tonight's stream. So anyway, into what we're playing. Let's start with Cyberpunk, because that was the game that we just played right before the recording here. I'm liking it so far. The one thing, I'm going to have to go off stream, not do anything, and figure out, I bought Contagion, which is one of my favorite programs to do as, you know, the Cyberware Netrunner stuff, and I couldn't find a way to equip it. So I don't know if I need to upgrade my cyber deck, which is what I think I need to do, but I was struggling too much on that stream, and we had a new viewer in some rad alien, there, and I didn't want to dick around in the menus for too long. I got to figure out where that went, and then I got to switch around. I put ping at the bottom because I kept hitting ping instead of overheat, which was usually my top slot because it's my go-to. For that. So I think my Cyberware thing can do 5, so I should have been able to put Contagion in there, but I don't know. I think it's not leveled up enough or something yet. So anyway, we beat some Cyber Psychos. I mainly shot them. I think you can do them non-lethally, but I didn't have anything to do non-lethally. So we'll see how... We'll just kill all the Cyber Psychos. I think I did all non-lethal, or if you could do it. I probably did it on my first playthrough because I had more time to figure it out. I usually try to do non-lethal. One of my biggest accomplishments in gaming was that I beat Deus Ex Mankind United. I think that's the second one. And did not kill one enemy. You know, pacified them all, knocked them all out. Didn't kill one enemy, even the bosses. Did the thing where you knock down their stamina and make them pass out or whatever, which was a big time accomplishment. The hardest part about that was accidentally, I had to reload the save once, because they threw a grenade, it hit a wall and blew up and killed their own person. And it counted as a death for me that I killed him, not their own grenade. So that was bullshit. So I reset it and did it, but... Yeah, one of my favorite game accomplishments is, you know, getting the achievement for, hi, Game Vault Cat. How you doing? Getting the trophy for that. Or achievement. I forget if it was Xbox or PlayStation. Either way, I got the thing for that. So, I think that's probably what I would have done in Cyberpunk originally, but we just, you know, shot it up here. Next time we play Cyberpunk on Thursday, we'll probably start doing main quest. Stuff. I was just sort of playing around to get sort of understand the combat a little bit better, get back into the groove of it. We ran into the two streamers that I know of in the game. Co-Carnage plays like a apocalyptic preacher that you can give money to. I gave, you know, the full amount. I don't know what that does later on or anything. I don't remember giving him money the first time. And then we did the special thing with Jesse Cox where he basically loses part of his penis or something. Yes, Game Boy Cat, it's fine. Jesse Cox is fine. You do that thing. Last time, I never finished that mission, so I didn't get the ending. He dies. Spoilers. If you don't get him there in time. And, this time he did not, and I got the mission complete, got the money from him, so I think completing some of these missions better than I did the first time around allowed me to pay off Vic a lot faster. So we were able to do that, and I upgraded some stuff. So it was basically side. We did about an hour and a half of just, you know, side content for the stream. And the pumpkin is going well in the cyber, and so we will be revisiting that. And moving on to, you know, the aforementioned Fallout. We got to Diamond City. We met Piper. We met the guy that doesn't know what baseball is, which is one of my favorite side characters. We started the mission to find the best sidekick of all time in Nick Valentine. Second, dog meat is number one. Best boy, always. But humans, the robot companion. Only the robot from New Vegas is probably the closest for me, in terms of NPCs you know, your sidekicks that I like the best. I think I'm going to use the thing for dog meat, where I believe in Fallout 4, if you keep him and as a round, he does not count as a companion. So you can do the Lone Wanderer perk and get all the advantages of that. Does. So I think we're going to do that, and we're going to keep dog meat the entire time. And we'll get him some armor, you know, to up, because I think the old, I don't know if the glitch is still in there, if I remember correctly, if you put anything on dog meat, his carrying capacity goes up to like 100, which helps out a lot. When you're at near, I think I'm near 200 or something. So if you get 300, you carry a lot more stuff. So, yeah, we got into, we beat some super mutants. We had some fun. We got destroyed trying to go into the Corvallis, I believe, place, the factory that you meet on your way to Diamond City. So we didn't do that. And then we basically what I'm going to do with Fallout, I think I said to you guys before, is that for the stream, we're going to start Diamond City, and then I got to figure out if we should do a wheel or dice roll. Dice roll might be fun. Roll a d8 and like one of the eight directions, and then we just head in that direction, no matter if we head towards the big radiated place to the southwest, I believe it is, or if we head, you know, right to the easy part up by Sanctuary. We'll do that for a stream, just head in that direction and do everything we can in that general vicinity, in that, you know, direction that we're going, and do it that way. And then, you know, we can, if there's any main quest stuff on that way, we'll do main quest stuff. But yeah, it'll be mostly fucking around in Fallout, essentially. So yeah, that's where the Fallout stays. Super Mario World 2 was a struggle on Monday. It was, what was it exactly that I was struggling on? It was the midpoint castle. Had a weird checkpointing system where it only checkpointed you twice. I think you could scam it so that you could checkpoint like at later times or something. But essentially, you get to the middle and there's a door, and then there's four, like one this way and then this way. Little mini rooms to go through, and each of them has a key, and you got to go through four doors to get to the boss fight. But the problem is there's only two rings, so essentially you have to do at least two of them without dying, which became a problem for me. Some of it was bullshit in the sense of the way I was dying. If you know those little circular like stone arrows that you jump on and then they travel up or whatever direction the arrow is pointing in, I kept slipping off of it for some reason. Don't know why. I jumped the same way and then landed on it, and it worked properly. So I don't know exactly what was going on there. And then, you know, the last two were pretty tricky. They had the stupid, I literally had one thing where I'm just sighing and put my head down because I don't know if you know those enemies that like steal Baby Mario and then run away with them. One of them did that while I was trapped and had no way back up to where this guy stole Baby Mario. And I just had to sit there and watch the star thing tick down until it was dead, until he was gone. So that was kind of terrible. And then the other one had like spikes or something that I had to destroy, and I accidentally jumped into the spikes one time and had to restart the whole thing. The big thing that happened was a lot of times I would hit game over and have to redo everything. But the fun thing was, me and Jonathan at one point was like, this is the run. We got it. This is the run. And I did it without dying at all. Didn't even need to use the midpoint, the checkpoints in the middle. Got all the way through it. And the boss was pretty easy. As most of them are, once you figure out the trick to it. I think the only one that might be tricky is Bowser, if I remember correctly. Or difficult. I mean, this is a true baby game for babies. In terms of the difficulty level. Or I should say complexity level, not the difficulty, because all Nintendo games, NES and all, are good. Yeah, while I talk here, I need to change the title stream, so don't mind the clicky-clack, thing. Yeah, so that is going good. I probably won't beat it before Tom comes back, unless if he's coming back a little later than I think. Especially if I struggle the way I did this week. But we'll see. I would imagine it would be tough unless if I just get on a roll and just do it there. Sorry for the podcast people that aren't seeing what I'm doing in the background here. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so it's been fun. A lot of it's one of the Mario games. I've only beaten, I think I said, beat 64 because that was an era where I had a 64 and I was one of the few games I had. So I beat that. I beat World and 3. I think I beat 3. Or my sister beat 3. I just know I've seen the ending of 3 when I was younger. So it'll be fun to add another check mark to that list here. You know, I've beaten RPG, but I don't know if that counts the same as the other ones. I apologize if there's any banging sound going on. Game Ball Cat is being really needy right now. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. Maybe I will have time as, the second Game Ball child of Tom's seems to be a night owl. So we'll see. And finally, my favorite game that I'm playing right now and I think about constantly, just wish I had the time to play more. I would be a gremlin if I wasn't streaming it for you guys. Like, Persona 3 Reload is really good. I see a lot of the quality of life improvements that 4 and 5 had over this, but I'm really liking the story now that it's kicked into high gear. I like most of the characters. There are some that I'm a little iffy about, here and there. But there's some stuff that hasn't aged well and certain dialogues, but again, the game was written almost 20 years ago. So, we can forgive it a little bit. I am excited, to find out because Personas always have three turning points. There's always the opening tutorial, which is probably usually about 5 to 10 hours where usually it's like the first dungeon and a half where they teach you all the rules about merging personas or fusing personas and social links and how to battle and essentially what the game will be, the pattern that the game will follow. And then the twist comes, which we already had here, where we find out what the real story is in the game. And then you get the one later, which is supposed to be the surprise out of nowhere. Somebody is not who you think they are, or somebody ends up being the big bad that you didn't think was the big bad, or somebody's connected to something, or something happened to somebody, or you're all connected in some way. Like, that's the third twist, and then you go fight God, is essentially how those games all go. So, yeah, I'm waiting for that next turn, which I think is coming up in probably the next, we're about halfway through in terms of, about a quarter of the way through. I think we've gone 3 or 4 full moons, so probably a third, right? That'd be a third, right, of 12. I don't know if we'll do the full 12. I don't know if that's what it does. But they have hinted that there are 12 shadows, so that'll mean every full moon. So we've defeated 4, I believe. But I have a feeling that we're going to be more paying attention to Jared Leto and his crew, who I can't wait to fight and destroy. He might become secret teammate. Persona 3 Reload, real good. Probably go on my Game of the Year list this year. So far, nothing's going to top, obviously, Rebirth. Rebirth was ridiculous. I'm over 100 hours. I'm still jumping in. Even though I've watched, I'm still trying to do the Gilgamesh thing, even though I know how that battle goes, but I just want to do it for myself. Persona 3 Reload, fucking great. And then I also wanted to get it done because I'm excited to jump into other RPGs for you guys here. So that's about it. Hope you guys have been following along with the YouTube. I've been trying to update as much as I can. I got to do some work this weekend to get a couple weeks out. I have to split up the Extra Life video into 6.5-hour chunks. So that'll be an interesting thing to do. I got to find a good cutoff point for that. And then, you know, I have Jen's Extra Life and Tom's Extra Life segments to put up as well when we did the Extra Life from Home segments. So, yeah, the YouTube channel will catch up on everything. Things might be out of order and age differently, so you might hear answers to conversations we had. You'll hear the question before the answer, or the answer before the question, and some of that stuff. But it'll be fun. So let's move on to the news here. I gotta remember that we are to go that. All right. So let's switch over to Hades 2 Early Access. More than doubles the original game's Steam concurrence in a day. So I just brought this up because it is what I am. What has got me to buy this is that there's so many people playing this. Look at that. Oh, man. I can't wait. So it made a peak of 79,000 concurrent players within 24 hours. Hades was at like 37,000, like the highest lifetime. So this is going to be big for Supergiant Games in terms of popularity. I think they have never done a sequel. You know, they had Bastion, Transistor, and then Pyre, and then Hades. So Hades 2 being the first sequel, and that should be interesting to see how they go. Will they ride the line and just do basically sort of the same game over again and just, you know, give you a couple new features but don't change way too much? Or will, like, the opening of the game be about the same, and then there'll be some twist in the middle that changes the way you play the game? I'm hoping for the latter. But I could very well, I would love if they just did another straight, same as Hades, for Hades 2 here. So Hades 2 doing very well right off the bat here. Staying on PC, God of War Ragnarok will be hitting PC, you know, shortly. What's the name? Aloy, her game, Horizon, Forbidden West, recently came, so they're looking, you know, coming soon, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, you know, Last of Us Part 1, Forbidden West, you know, a bunch of these PlayStation games are finally coming, because I think, as we've discussed in the past here, on the show and on this podcast, the PlayStation is realizing that they won't make their money back on their exclusives by just releasing them on PlayStation. They have to recoup some money on PC, and some of these games are meant for PC in terms of the way they look. You can pump up the graphics, pump up the frame rate. God of War is one of them. Forbidden West is another. Ghost of Tsushima, I haven't played it, but I would imagine, with all the particle effects from the previews I've seen, with the, you know, the cherry blossoms and the flowers and all that stuff flying around while you're battling sometimes, will be great on PC. So I'm not surprised. Ratchet & Clank looks amazing on PS5. I can't imagine getting it into, you know, better quality systems that are a little bit stronger PC-wise. I think it's a very smart thing for Sony. You know, both major publishers, you know, are taking a big hit over the last couple weeks here. As much as you know, Sony sort of culled the anger for Helldivers 2, but are still freezing out people from being able to buy the game in the non-PSN thing. So they're still going to do the PSN stuff, just everybody is grandfathered in that already bought the game and can still play it. I don't know exactly how they're going to do that, that is what they're doing. And it seems like all these games are going to, I think they're going to start making the PC games all need to connect to PSN, because it seems like, I think Ghost of Tsushima also has the region lock for the countries that can't have PSN as well. So I don't know if that'll affect sales or whatever. I mean, obviously it affects sales, but in terms of, you know, are they okay bumping up the PSN numbers over getting more sales from other countries? We'll see. But yeah, God of War Ragnarok, I highly recommend it. The Valhalla expansion is really good. I found that I'm really into run-based games now, despite being mostly terrible at them. but it is a fun time, and it's good to see, at least for those of us that can purchase it, have the ability to play these PlayStation exclusives on PC. More looking at Jen to be able to finally play Forbidden West, which means that we can finally have a spoiler cast on it, since we did a spoiler cast for Horizon 1. So when she eventually gets to that, 2 years down the line or whatever, and we're still doing this, I will 100% do a spoiler cast with her. Even if no one watches and no one listens, I just want to scream about that game with her, and I've been waiting to do it for a long time. So next up, as I mentioned, Ghost of Tsushima. This is the whole Helldivers 2 thing. It's basically what I talked about. There's 177 countries that are restricted. The list is here. It's a lot of Eastern European stuff mainly, and it looks like Africa and stuff like that. But yeah, for the multiplayer, you'll need it. Maybe it'll open up. Maybe they have to figure something out before they open it up, and they don't want to fuck with it. So I'm not giving Sony the benefit of the doubt here, but I can very much see that being the case. Maybe they finally realize, oh fuck, if we're going to do the PSN, we need to restrict in these countries until we can figure out how to get around that, so that they can buy and we can still get them into the ecosystem somehow. Next up, on a company that hasn't been toxic recently in terms of this. I mean, they're toxic in terms of the Switch emulator thing, but that was a long time ago in gamer news, as they sit back and watch, Microsoft and Sony shoot themselves in the foot. So there is a direct for June. Again, Game Vault Pod will be watching it, whether live or later. But it will focus on Switch games only. And that is an important line, because another news that came out was that, the Switch 2 was announced. We'll get to that in a second. But this will be, coming probably around, I don't know if I see a date in here, but it'll probably be, right around, when E3 would be. This is what I wanted to know about here. Paper Mario. That is coming out. That throws an interesting wrinkle into what I want to stream. Thousand Year Door is my favorite Paper Mario, so do that. And then, maybe it'll talk about Metroid Prime 4. Who knows? We'll get to this in another bit of news. But yeah, so Switch 2 was announced. They're not calling it Switch 2, but it probably won't come out until like March, April, probably middle to end of next year, which would put it 8 years for the Switch. I don't know if they'll call it Switch 2. I still want Switch U, which would be hilarious. But they should just call it Switch 2. I think the project name has something to go... The successor to the Nintendo Switch is what the official name is. That's what they told investors. It'll definitely be out, like they said, after the end of the fiscal year, which is March 31st, 2025. So it says, April or later for this. Rumors been going around for this. And Switch was probably just a little bit more powerful than PS4 and Xbox One, and survived 8 years in this new market and put out hell of a lot of good games, and basically revolutionized, like, all little kids have a Nintendo Switch that I know of. And it's not even like my niece has Xbox Series S. I don't know if she plays it. I bought her the Avatar game. No idea if she plays it. But I know she plays her Switch, and I know she plays on PC. So somehow Nintendo captured that Gen Alpha market with the ease of accessibility here. I don't know if they got the latter Gen Z market for that stuff. This type of console is probably what's going to be the future. Something you can carry around with you, as well as be on TV. Whoever can perfect the idea of the docking system here, and I don't know, Tom can correct me in chat or, in the comments, that if someone can perfect the docking being like 4K, and then when you take it off, it's like at worst 1440p. If someone can do that, and I'm not talking about like Steam Deck where you just go on your PC and play. I'm talking like console, like the Switch, playing it here, you put it in a thing and it pops up on the TV. If there's something out there already like that, then awesome. But I think that's the next step. It's somebody to figure out how to do that on a, like take a Steam Deck and make it pop up on the TV and not need to be connected to like a PC or something like that. Like the actual, everything is in here and has no connection to something. That's the next step. And I don't know if they'll get there because Nintendo tends to be like half a generation to, they already have that? Awesome. Like I said, you're way more into the console market than I am with this stuff. But yeah, I think anybody can do it as well as Nintendo does stuff. Now, my question is, Tom, does the Steam Deck need to be like connected to your PC? Or is the Steam Deck its own thing? That's the only thing I may know this answer, but I'm not 100% sure and I don't really want to switch it. No, it's standalone. Okay. Then I take that back now that they made a deck for the Steam Deck. But yeah, that was obviously the next place to go. I just hope, the one thing I hope from Nintendo with Switch 2, to be honest, and this is the best part about joining us live on Twitch every Friday at 9 p.m., is that you can update me live. As Tom is letting me know that the Steam Deck is a handheld Linux PC. I think I kind of knew that, but I wasn't 100% sure. But going back to, I think Nintendo just has that name that if they can figure it out a little bit better, it'll explode. Like, Switch is going to pass the PS2 in sales. It's ridiculous. It's already well over 100 million units sold. And it didn't have the big gimmick that we had. I mean, the gimmick is it being handheld and TV, which revolutionized, you know, what happened in gaming. But I just don't want them to innovate too much. You know what I mean? Like, they always want to do the weird thing. And I just don't think they need to do the weird thing. I think they found their thing. And they just need to improve on the thing and make it better. April 2025 at the earliest, I would imagine. If they don't do April 2025, because they like to do releases in the spring, for the most part, at least recently, since they, probably want to avoid the crowded summer, the fall stuff, but they could do fall, because I don't think a new Xbox or new PlayStation is coming next fall, so I might be wrong, who knows, maybe that's how Microsoft gets people back on their side, Yeah, one more bit of Nintendo news. As mentioned last week, Nintendo World Championships NES Edition for Switch has a release date now after that leak occurred. Look at that. Oh, that's so beautiful. Look at that box. Oh, my God. That box is amazing. I might buy that deluxe set, Tom. Oh, boy. Look at that deluxe set. Holy Christ. That is definitely worth the $60. That is amazing. Yeah, so it's coming out July 18th. Maybe somebody can give me a birthday present, you know, wink, 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 for this. This is, oh man. I hope those things that are like the cards are like good enough quality to hang on my video game wall. There's a couple good spots for that. So as you can see, the games that are in the speedrun challenges, as you see below, include Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Excitebike, Ice Climbers, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Metroid, all four Super Mario Brothers that came out on the NES, The Legend of Zelda, and Zelda 2. I'm probably definitely buying this. Hopefully I can get the collector's edition, for it, so... Yeah, keep an eye out for that. Maybe they put it on Amazon. I can pre-order it on Amazon because they don't charge you until it comes out. That's a good idea, Mark. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. I love how it knows. The last thing, God love advertisements, because right here, this thing here, where the Best Buy thing, the most recent thing I bought video game-wise was from Best Buy. So It's showing me this here. That's funny. So we move on to probably the most frustrating, upsetting, sad company of the week. But we will we'll start with Sarah Bond responded to the things that happened this week. So without diving in deep, because I'm sure you can find other people. I'm sure Jeff Grubb and Jason Schreier's writing and, you know, a whole bunch of other people have said a lot more smarter things and know more of the ins and outs than I do. But yeah, this week, Microsoft shocked the world and announced that it was closing Arcane Austin and Tango Game Works and just a couple other companies. But those are the two big ones. I mean, Arcane Austin did Redfall, and Redfall was god-awful. But I don't know if... I guess it could be a reason to shut down the studio. I don't know. But it seems like they were planning a big update to improve things and try to No Man's Sky that game. But obviously that is canceled now. And for those of you out there worried, it's Arcane Lyon, the French company, that is doing the Blade game, and they're the Dishonored people and the Deathloop people. There are some people at Arcane Austin that came from that studio, but I believe Lyon is the one that does those three major games. So if you're worried about those games, you know, those are there. I think the most surprising one, just because of a lot of things they've been saying, and as you can see on the story here, this probably has to do with the recent acquisition of Activision, where they paid $69 billion. Nice. For it, and they need to make some cuts to kind of figure out how to sort of do this correctly. I don't know. Or save money, because God knows Microsoft has no money. You know, Tango. I mean, they praised Hi-Fi Rush for a year, saying, this is the type of games we need to have on Game Pass. This is what we do. You know, so they did all that. And then, you know, Sarah Bond was asked today, which a pretty good interview if you want to listen to it. You know, the, you know, just all this corporate speak, you know, reprioritization of titles and resources. We are making these tough decisions to create capacity to increase investment in other parts of our portfolio and focus on our priority games, which freaks me out a bit because you start thinking of studios that do that, and it means that game studios will release only the same five games over and over again. And that was one of the reasons Hi-Fi Rush was, you know, so such a breath of fresh air last year. So, you know, Tango Gameworks showing off all of the awards they won and saying, this is not enough to stay open. So, you know, and to get to the, Sarah Bond, comments, basically a lot of corporate speak. I'll just read it over here. You know, the last year or so in video games, largely the industry has been flat. And even in 2023, we saw some tremendous releases, tremendous groundbreaking games, but still the growth didn't follow all that because we need to satisfy the shareholders. A lot of that is related to our need to bring in new players in and making gaming more accessible. But all of that has been happening at the same time that the cost associated with making these beautiful AAA blockbuster games is going up. And the time it takes to make them is going up. And so much of our focus at Xbox is about how we do things to help the industry all up, while also ensuring that our brand, everything we do, is there through this moment of transition. And, you know, just more and more corporate speak here. You know, if you really want to read it, just go watch the interview. But, and then here's the specific thing about Tango Gameworks. The response to the great question from Bloomberg about closing Tango in context of Hi-Fi Rush's success and how it can be possible that a studio behind an award-winning, apparently commercially successful title can be closed just after its release. And here's Bond's response. You know, one of the things I really love about the games industry is it's a creative art form, and it means that the situations and what successes for each game in the studio is also real unique. There's no one size fits all to it for us. And so we look at each studio, each game, and we look at the whole variety of factors when we're faced with making decisions and trade-offs like that. But it all comes back to our long-term commitment to the games we create, the devices we build, the services, ensuring that we're setting ourselves up to deliver on those promises. Basically, dismissive wanking motion to that. It just, the faceless board members did not see number go up. And yeah, it's just, this is the, you know, all the layoffs are sad and upset. This is just the first that really, I think it finally had enough for me in terms of this. It's just, you know, and I also, as much as we praise and like Phil Spencer on here, and if there was a quote from him, please let me know. But it just shows me that, and maybe it's a little emotion here, but, you know, the sense that he sends Sarah Bond out there and is, you know, hiding in this situation and being kind of a coward about this because of all the praise he had for the games, especially Hi-Fi Rush, that he's had over the last year, and doesn't come and answer the questions. Now, maybe he has nothing to do with the decision, you know, and yeah, it's just ridiculous. Tango did not deserve this. They made one of the best games out of nowhere of the year. Everybody acknowledged it. Yeah, I was just going to get to that. So players, I believe Phil Spencer has a camp in Fallout 76, and players have been nuking the shit out of it, since this announcement came out. But yeah, there's still the defenders, and until I hear Spencer, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you always have some kind of skepticism with people of corporations, but now it's like the whole thing is that trust is now gone from most of the player base. Like, I don't know if you get it back ever, if they'll ever trust anything you say. It'll all be like, yeah, sure, approve it. Like, I don't think most people from here on out will take Microsoft on their word. Not that you should have in the first place, but, you know, this should end. This and the Sony thing should just end the whole culture war with consoles and stuff like that between them. They're both big companies that don't give a shit about you and are just going to do what they want for the shareholders. And why, yes, I did hang out with Anthony this week, if that's what you're wondering. You know, yeah, the Hi-Fi Rush thing is pissing me off, especially because they were going to do a sequel, and then this happens. And it's just like, all the games are going to be the same at some point. Yeah, that, exactly. If they're worried about, you know, Fallout has the success, but Bethesda is not working on it, and, you know, BGS won't have a Fallout game until 2030. Why don't you use a studio like Tango? Or even Arcane Austin? Yeah, Redfall fucking sucked, but they've made Prey, I believe. You know, a game that's pretty good in the past. You know, have them make a small Fallout game. Hell, you have Obsidian that you can just roll out New Vegas 2 or something. I don't know. Just, you can use these studios to take advantage of the Fallout TV show. And all the goodwill you got from that, you didn't need to close them. And especially, as Night Duck said in the chat, there are studios that Microsoft is still holding on to that are doing nothing and have not released anything good in years. And it's just, I think it's a Tango thing that just, like went, like, I'm done. Like, sort of, I think that's the thing that pissed me off the most. Like, Arcane Austin, I can understand. Even though I don't agree with layoffs at all in it, you know, in the way they do layoffs. But Redfall sucked. You made a bad game. Sorry, we're going to have to close your studio. Fine, I get that. You know, and, you know, I don't know the other two studios. I didn't have time to look at them because, you know, my anger here. But, you know, Tango Gameworks, you know, made a great game. And Evil Within is a great game. Like, they have made successful games. And they seem like the most creative Microsoft Studio. Like, it just, what's the game here? What's the goal, essentially, in terms of this? Like, I, as you know, sad and upsetting as it is, you know, you in some industry, you can forgive some of the layoffs. As much as it pisses you off and it shouldn't happen and stuff, at least if there's some reason behind it, you can go, okay, it sucks. And, you know, this is, yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo. Forgot all about that. And that game was pretty good. Probably more range of 7 and 8 than the, you know, 8 to 9 that Hi-Fi Rush was. But they put those two games out. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know anymore. Game Pass is still a great thing. Maybe my goal is that by having Game Pass, I'm not buying full price for the game, so I'm not giving them all my money, I'm definitely paying less than I would if I bought all the games that are on Game Pass. Maybe that's the only way to justify it. Maybe I don't buy new games. Maybe I start going to GameStop again and buying used games. I don't know. As much as GameStop's a fucking shitty company, too. There's no winners here in anything. So, moving on. In positive news, Steam users are doing the... let's pause. Apologize for that. Are positively review bombing Hi-Fi Rush. I don't know anything it will do to it, but I like to see review bombing used in the right ways, and the last two instances of review bombing has 100%. Sail the seven seas, as he said. I was just making a point of buying used games. I could not think of another... I guess there's local used game places. There we go. eBay, Facebook Marketplace, things like that. Don't do GameStop. That was just the first thing in my head. It's gotten to that point where it's like, whatever in that. But, like I said, positive news here. At least take what you can out of it. But, review bombing on a positive note for Hi-Fi Rush. I don't know if it'll do anything for it. The other thing I saw, too, is that Limited Run is still doing the hard, the physical copies of Hi-Fi Rush until they're told not to. So if you're looking to get a physical copy out there, you can go buy it. And then the other review bombing doing a good thing is the Helldivers 2, when they negative, review bombed that for a good reason. It's nice to see that happen for real life good reasons and not... there was a woman in it that didn't have big boobs. And, oh God, game sucks. 0 out of 10. Woman has an A cup. At least this is good review bombing. So, I will celebrate Hi-Fi Rush forever. And shout out to my girl Peppermint. I wish there was a sequel where I could see more of you in the game. But I can just always go back and play the old game. And more shitty Microsoft news. They may not put Call of Duty on Game Pass, so fuck them, in terms of that, and also they're gonna do a price hike. If you do this, the price hike, you need to do this. You can't, they can, I shouldn't say can't. If you did this, and this, people won't get upset. They'll understand. You do this without doing this, and for those in the audio medium, if you do a price hike, without putting Call of Duty on Game Pass, that is really, really terrible and shitty. But you can justify a price hike if you put Call of Duty on Game Pass. Because, yes. Celebrate Hi-Fi Rush by listening to Nine Inch Nails. Hell yeah, Trent Reznor. Because I can understand... This is what I was saying in the last segment. I can understand if you need to raise the price of Game Pass because Call of Duty is going to be on there and you need so much server load for all the people that are going to be coming and trying to play multiplayer on that. And you need to buy new servers or whatever. I don't know server side stuff. I have two more technologically savvy people in the chat here, but I can understand if they need to do all that. bites the hand at feet. That's pretty good. But yeah, this is... I'm sorry breathing into the mic. I'm just exasperated. If they're going to raise the price, it's got to have Call of Duty in it. I mean, I'm probably still going to buy it, and most people are probably still going to buy it even with the price hike, just because, to be honest, I can't afford to go out, if I buy, $150 once a year to be able to play a whole bunch of games. It's still better for me than, only being able to buy 3 games a year. I'm still going to do it. I don't know why Redfall is in this video here. Oh, I guess it's the thing is about the closures. I just noticed that. I'm like, why is Redfall in there? I think if you do price hike it, you have to put Call of Duty on there, and people would understand. And I would announce it at the same time, in June. It would be like, hey, Call of Duty coming to Game Pass! But, you know, and with all these new, you know, Activision games, you can go back in the back catalog and all these Call of Duties on Game Pass, you know, the price, you know, will increase, but, you know, it's still less than 3 games a year, you know, like, sell it that way. Do good PR, not whatever bullshit you're doing now with these closures. Yeah. No, I mean, Tom, a good Call of Duty for us, even though I did like, the Modern Warfare, remake, and that, but I'm saying for the global we, in terms of people to play Call of Duty games, they're going to buy the Call of Duty. Anyway, this is a way, if you put it on Game Pass, to maybe capture the Xbox audience that only plays Call of Duty and go, hey, you know how you buy $70, you know, Call of Duty games? What if I told you that you can play every Call of Duty for only double that price? And every Call of Duty in the future, huh? And there might be other games on there you might like. You know, by putting it on there, maybe you open up Game Pass to this big, wide Call of Duty audience. It's the one reason why EA Play is great, because it opens Madden up, even though you need to wait 6 months for it. Or 8 months. Yeah, about 6 months for it. But, you know, yeah, but what do I know? I'm not a millionaire. Shocking, I know. One more Game Pass news on positive end. Lords of the Fallen coming to Game Pass. Yay, I guess. But yeah. I'd like to let you all know when new games are coming to Game Pass. You got Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 as well. I feel bad for this studio. Hellblade 2 coming out with what they need, you know. Hi-Fi Rush is fucking great. This game's not going to sell like... apparently you need to sell on Microsoft now, but, pick it up here. But yeah, Little Kitty Big City is good. Brothers of Tale of Two Sons, if you have not played that game, play that game. That game is really, really good. Yeah. I'm not a billionaire. Yeah. Yeah, essentially. Yeah, I don't get, Game Pass is the perfect vehicle for games like Hi-Fi Rush, and games in, I know we keep bringing up, games in that ilk, like, Hellblade 2, and games that can be very artistic. You can put it on this service that people are probably buying for Call of Duty, the Fallout games, whatever big games that are on there, or the EA Play people that want to try the EA games before they buy. You know, I think Ubisoft is even part of it now, maybe. But you get people in that want to do that stuff, and then you go, hey, try this. Do you like this? Like this? This might be good. Play this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and do that with some games, with some studio, your smaller studios, and get them notoriety that maybe they, you know, will get the prestige and all, that you can throw them on your bigger games, and they can make your bigger games better, a la Tango on Fallout. I would fucking love to see what Tango would do with a Fallout. But yeah, so, you know, for the love of God, Brothers, Tale of Two Sons, and Hellblade 2 are probably going to be really good if you're in, if you want to play those types of really well-done games in that. Alright, and on to more fun news. If you've been reading the top of the screen, I don't know what screen you're watching this on, something very near and dear to me and Tom's heart was leaked today by the PlayStation Store. We have the cover of the deluxe edition of EA College Football 25. And I will admit, I got a little teared up seeing that it is real. And I don't care if this game sucks. I just want an easier way to play my college football. That is it. I don't care. I love playing it on my totally legitimate PS3 that I have, but the game can suck. I just want college band music, weird shit, great crowd. Like, all they need to do in this is, I don't know how many of you play FIFA out there, but they just need to, like, if they haven't already, go to the FIFA people and go, hey, FIFA people, or FC people now, they're not FIFA anymore, the FC people, hey, how do you do crowd noise? How do you make your crowd noise so good that it sounds like almost like a European soccer match? We need to have that for our college football game. And if they did that, fucking great. I can mute the commentary and just have the crowd sounds, like I used to do for the other games. And the fun part here, if you look in the center of the screen, it shows you the names of actual college football players because of the new NIL deal. And all those people that were worried about certain people not signing up, Arch Manning, for some reason, who is this guy's backup on Texas, Ewers. And then you have Travis Hunter, who may be the best player in the country there. And then you get, you know, so you get back, you get from Georgia, you get Judkins from Ohio State, you get Milroe from, the, you know, Alabama, you know, and just showing you all here that this is real, and I am excited. And Donovan Edwards from Michigan. I think me and Tom can agree. Fuck Michigan. You know, I don't know. I haven't had time to read this in full. I just learned of the leak recently. The one thing I need to know, I think they're going to do some announcements soon. They said May. You know, they would send some stuff out, you know, probably, you know, a trailer or something. You know, they confirmed 134 schools. I don't know if the coaches will really be in there. Like, they mentioned Lane Kiffin for some weird reason in this. But, yeah. They were trying to incorporate things such as the playoff system. Playoff system definitely will be in there, 100%. NIL, I don't know exactly how they would do that. That would be really pretty weird. They have to do it, but I don't know how they'll do it. And they'll do the transfer portal. The NIL thing sort of runs on... If you remember back in the day when they tried to do, like, NCAA violations, it's just a computer running an algorithm, essentially. And, you know, what would they, you know, randomly... It makes no sense. You know, so we'll see. I think the playoff system would be in their transfer portal. Transfer portal was in there. Like, schools... Like, the old transfer portal, where... You would get a transfer and they would automatically redshirt, was in NCAA 14. So, hey, Game Ball Cat. You know, I don't know what the difference is, why this person is making it out to be, I guess it'll be, yeah. The new transfer portal is much different than the one that was in the other game. But I guess it would essentially be like another recruiting, part of recruiting. Another, you know, block under recruiting, essentially, is the way they would do it. But transfers have been around forever. This transferring isn't a new thing. It's just the way the portal works is a new thing. I'm excited to see if they get any sponsorships. That was always the fun part of the old NCAAs. You know, when they would have weird, like, Snickers and Reese's and stuff like that. Whatever the Heisman sponsor is would be on there. So, yeah. I want to end on some positive good news. We got our ranting and venting out. Probably the most angry I've been on a podcast earlier, so my palate cleanser to you all that enjoy college football was just this photo above here so that you guys can get excited, as they say. I am very, very, very excited. The one final thought on this is that if EA Play puts it on PC with Origin, where if I pay for Origin, I can download the game for free. I will 100% go back to paying for Origin instead of just EA Play on the Xbox, you know, through Game Pass. Because then I can play Madden on here and I can play FIFA on the PC. So that's three games for the price of what it costs per year on there. And I save that money, you know, so yeah. I think that's about it for us. Sorry if I feel a little distracted and leaning off camera. I'm trying to keep Game Ball Cat happy so she doesn't cry while on mic here. So, all right. Thank you guys for joining us. For those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube, we'll be back, or Twitch especially, not YouTube probably, on Twitch. We'll be back tomorrow with Persona 3 getting good. We might be confronting Jared Leto soon. So we will pick up that. And then Sunday is Fallout 4 with possible Hades 2 beforehand. Depending on if I pick that up this weekend. It's basically how Mother's Day goes, essentially. And then Monday, you know, the podcast will drop. And then we'll play Super Mario World. And then Thursday, we'll jump back into Fallout. And then we'll be right back here with the game hour. This show on Friday. So, yeah, once again, thank you guys for joining me. Thanks, Night Duck, Metal Militia, for always being there to be my fact checkers and helping me through that venting anger segment of the show. We'll see you next time. Bye!